fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Are you moving on? Or are you getting ready for the offseason? Either way, we welcome you to the show. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Hope this is a happy Sunday night for you in Fantasy Week 14. And we're going to recap all the action. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Heath Cummings will, of course, get into those waiver wire running backs. They were okay. They were really good if you consider Austin Eckler. Hope you started him. And there were some goal line frustrations today. But guys, what about the Miami Dolphins? What a finish! How cool was that?
It was amazing.
It was.
What are they going to call it? The Miami Miracle?
All right, so I'm glad you asked. Heath, do you have a funny name for it? Do you have a good name for it?
I have no name for it.
All right, so I said Miracle in Miami is stupid. We had Miracle in Minnesota last year, for crying out loud.
Wasn't Miracle in Minnesota. It was the Minneapolis Miracle.
Whatever. Give me a better name for what happened today. And I asked the people on Twitter.
Dolphins Delight.
That's not bad. See if you like these better. The Miami Marvel, the Marvel in Miami, the Drake Escape, Meaningless in Miami.
How is it meaningless?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's funny, but it's not meaningless. The quote, Belichick is wrong sometimes too. Why put Gronk on the back line when there's no way Tannehill is going to throw a jump ball to the end zone from their own 30 play? Miami Nice. That's not bad. Stunner on South Beach, the Vice City Victory, the lateral at the Everglades. What else we got? The 305 special, hullabaloo at the Hard Rock, Patriots Day debacle, the fish filet flambe, mania in Miami, Magic City Marvel.
It could be the play that ends the Patriots Super Bowl hopes.
I was thinking it may be the play that ends the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah, because they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs, and that's not going to be good for them.
Well, that doesn't have a good ring to it, but it could be true. Magic City Magic is actually, I think, kind of cool. Draking Bad! That might be it. From the cool original. Draking
that's
Bad.
That's probably a Patriots headline.
Oh, that's a good, maybe. All right, well, Bonanza by the Beach! Yeah, I like it. From Brian Wilson. Thank you.
How's our Bonanza going right now, by the way?
I am rooting so hard against the Bonanza. It is currently in progress, and I need Gurley and Cooks to not do so well. But, we move on to, just a quick stat to start this show. 15 quarterbacks have scored 20 or more fantasy points in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues this week entering Sunday night. That's pretty good, but only 3 of them have scored more than 26 fantasy points. They are Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, and Ryan Tannehill. That's just a quick note. You know, there's a good chance that you didn't
Matt
win.
Ryan wasn't over that?
No, I think he was at 26.
I think he scored exactly 26.
Oh.
There's a good chance you didn't separate yourself good or bad at quarterback this week. There were a lot of similar performances across the board. Winners and losers in just a second, but first the news and notes. Melvin Gordon and James Conner both have a chance to play next week. And no sense getting into it now. We can, of course, get into it on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire show. Ben Roethlisberger left with a rib injury, but he returned late in the game. Heath, we wanted more from Ben Roethlisberger. He would have been over 26 fantasy points, I guarantee it.
Yeah, it was a I don't know how bad his rib injury is. He jogged back onto the field to some really loud applause. Steelers fans in Oakland or Los Angeles or Vegas or wherever they are right now, we're very happy to see him. And then he stood there on the sidelines while they lost the lead, came back in, took it back. It was a disappointing effort.
It was, and he ended up with 23 fantasy points, so it was not that bad of a game for Roethlisberger, but it was really bad for Antonio Brown. And if Roethlisberger has to miss times, and Jamie and Josh Dobbs got hurt too?
I believe so. I believe that's why Roethlisberger came back in. I haven't seen any official, but that's what the people I was watching the game with said.
Okay.
I was back and forth on the set, so I didn't know.
Yeah, if Roethlisberger does miss time, that's...
There's no way he's missing next week.
Patriots.
No, he shouldn't have missed any plays this week.
Hope you're right. We had some injury scares with Spencer Ware and Tyreek Hill, but they were able to come back in. However... Spencer Ware was good, except he was part of the goal line madness that we saw, which was disappointing, where Damian Williams scored a touchdown. But Crowell, McCoy, Jordan Reed, Austin Eckler, all left. Jamie, what what's the impact here? Crowell, McCoy, Jordan Reed, Austin Eckler all left with injuries. Eckler left very late.
Yeah, he left on the onside kick. Look, if Melvin Gordon plays next week, then it's no real concern with Eckler outside of the deeper leagues that you'd be counting on him. But I think with Crowell, you saw Elijah McGuire. You know, he wasn't great, but he was good. 60 yards and a touchdown. And that's a guy we've talked about several times over the last month after Bilal Powell got hurt. I think with McCoy, he hasn't been good this season. Are you going to trust all of a sudden Chris Ivory? I know he had a couple of good games when McCoy's been banged up, but still, I don't know how many people at this point in the season are going to look at him and say, that's the guy I'm starting outside of, 14, 16 team leagues type of thing.
Okay, and Josh Johnson is going to replace Mark Sanchez at quarterback for Washington. He'll start next week. Dallas guard Zach Martin left with an injury in the fourth quarter. I don't know why I have this in the notes, but I was disappointed to see it. Dan Arnold wasn't active for the Saints.
So that was a surprise. One other injury scare was Zeke.
He
got checked for a concussion.
He came back in. Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, are you kidding me? Because last night I was going to pick up Rod Smith. I didn't have room for him. I was like, Zeke doesn't get hurt. He's fine. But he did come back in. And the Dolphins have won 5 out of 6 at home against the Patriots. How about that? Magic City, magic. All right, winners.
I got one more note for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Hit me with it.
The two highest individual point totals in PPR this year both happened in Week 14.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry's number 2. He was number 1 for all of 2.5 days.
So who was better than him in PPR? Why can't I think of this? Jarvis Landry? No. Who?
Amari Cooper.
Oh, Amari Cooper, of course.
10 catches, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns. The number 1 PPR performance of the season.
That's a great stat. Thank you, Heath. Good stuff. I got a few more. I'm going to one-up you. Actually, this is
the best.
Yeah, I can. The Redskins had not allowed a run of more than 21 yards all year before this week. Can you freaking believe that?
Oh, it's Giants
stats time. I mean, I heard it on the broadcast. That's all. Okay, consider yourself one up.
That team is atrocious.
Who do they get next week?
I feel bad for them. Jacksonville. So two atrocious teams. I feel bad for Washington because they had a nice season going. They really did.
They did.
And the offensive line fell apart, and Alex Smith fell apart, and that was just a total disaster.
Yeah, what I was going to say was you need to stream the DST that faces the Redskins, even though Johnson was much better than Sanchez. But, yeah, they're 75% owned the Jaguars DST. Well, anyway, winners and losers, here we go. Jamie, kick it off with your winners. You've got Tom Brady and Ian Thomas. Let's start with Brady, who 32 fantasy points. I'm not sure if Dak leapfrogged him, but he's either number 1 or number 2 right now. And had a big game at Miami.
Outside of what happened to him at the end of the first half, which may have ended up costing him the game, in hindsight, he looked awesome. Very surprising they took a sack there at the end of the first half because they gave up points. But he looked like the Brady we were expecting all season. And, Heath had a very telling statement on the podcast earlier this week about if you're relying on Tom Brady in your fantasy playoffs, you're probably not in the fantasy playoffs. But if you did have him and managed to get here, he rewarded you in a big, big way. Obviously Gronkowski's a winner. He looked like the Gronk of old outside of trying to tackle Kenyon Drake at the end. But it was, all systems go for him against in a great matchup. And I think he's going to be great again against Pittsburgh next week.
Is there a rhyme or reason, guys, when you're projecting the Patriots? Or is it just a crapshoot in terms of, well, seriously, it's like, they've got a whole bunch of good fantasy relevant players and not all of them are going to be good every week.
Well, that's what I said, I think, on Thursday or Friday. Two of them are going to suck.
And it was the running backs.
Maybe only one of them did this week.
No, Michelle and White were both bad.
That's true. That's right. Those were the two.
Yeah.
Well, no. Gordon wasn't great.
Yeah, but he can kill you, though. Michelle had 20 carries. 20 carries, and he couldn't have a big game. That's so disappointing. But, of course, he got James Devlin. So annoying.
Somebody, I tweeted when he scored a touchdown, I hate James Devlin. He goes, and two replies that I thought were funny. One, it was back-to-back. It kind of just coincides with each other. Bill Belichick hates your fantasy team, and he puts in the devil. He puts the devil in.
That's good. Jamie, your other winner is Ian Thomas. 9 catches, 77 yards on 11 targets for the Panthers tight end at Cleveland.
I made another stupid mistake, idiot moron move, last minute. One of my lineups, thankfully, I was able to win because I had Amari Cooper. But I took out Ian Thomas. I added Matt LaCosse and dropped Ian Thomas.
Last night, I recommended Matt LaCosse over Trey Burton to someone.
I don't have a problem with that. Trey Burton stinks.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I've already lost that, and we're 5 minutes into the Rams game. So.
Yeah, but still. I mean, Trey Burton had been terrible.
Yeah. Well, Ian Thomas is 17% owned. And, Jamie, you know, the Saints, they're so good against tight ends. Tight ends, that's his next matchup.
He had two catches. They were two of very important catches, but he had two catches.
Cameron Brayton against the Saints. Heath, your winners.
If you were to say after that first quarter, Jameis Winston is going to finish with blank, you would have said, oh, my God, he's going to have the best game of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and did George Kittle have a catch in the second half?
No, he didn't need to.
He didn't, right?
He was 5 yards at halftime. He was 5 yards short of the all-time record for a tight end, and he did not break the record.
210 yards in the first half, zero in the second. That's amazing. Okay, I'm so scatterbrained today because this really was such an awesome day of football. Like, sneaky great game, Jets-Bills. How about that finish? And like none of it matters because the Miami game was so awesome. But, Heath, who are your winners today?
First one, back to that Patriots-Dolphins game. I'll go with Kenny Stills. He is looking more and more like Ryan Tannehill's favorite. He was the only receiver, only player that had more than four targets in this game. He had nine. Nobody else besides Devontae Parker had more than one target in the game. Still scored the touchdown,
Are
eight catches,
kidding?
135 yards.
Wow.
Looking exactly like what we expected from him. And he may pass Alshon Jeffrey.
I'm looking it up right now. As soon as you said that, I went to go look right now. I'm going to tell you where they are.
Jeffrey scored today. Yeah. I thought about that, though.
He was about 15 points back of Jeffrey going into this week, so he's probably 10 back now.
Stills is only 61%. Oh, but here's the problem, Heath. You see his next two matchups at Minnesota, home against Jacksonville? Is that a problem?
That's a problem, yes.
Okay. And your other one, how about this sneaky winner, Tim Patrick, unowned, 7 catches, 85 yards on 10 targets. And I'll throw in this is a Broncos wide receiver, Tim Patrick. I'll throw in that Cortland Sutton to me is probably the biggest disappointment of Fantasy Week 14. But talk to me about Patrick.
He left that game for a while. He was hobbled, but then he was back in at the end, so I don't think it was a serious injury. But there was obviously a little bit of a connection there. Deshaun Hamilton did score the touchdown, so that was kind of saved his day if you went to him as a deep sleeper. But Patrick was the guy that Keenum was looking for more often. And unlike Kenny Stills, he has better matchups the next couple of weeks.
Cleveland, and then at Oakland, and then the Chargers, Tim Patrick.
Well, Hamilton's had a good day in PPR. He had 7 for 47 in the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, and they didn't do as well. Well, Hamilton did, I guess. But Sutton and Patrick didn't do as well as most receivers who get six or more targets against the 49ers usually do. Losers.
Well, PPR did.
Who did? Patrick?
Yeah, but my PPR point. That's a good day.
My stat was
Hamilton ended up with the best day of their receiver group.
Heath, your losers, James White and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I could have picked either one of the Patriots running backs, but I'm not going to call Sony Michel a loser when he gets 20 carries. If he gets 20 carries every week, he's going to be good. James White had 4 targets and 4 carries in this game. That's a bad, bad situation. And now it's 2 out of 3 games where he's been the odd man out. He did have one game, I think, with 9 targets since everybody's been healthy. But we see just a little bit from Rex Burkhead, just a little bit from James Devlin. And I don't think, like, if James White's not the clear number two running back and he's getting 4 carries, then you're just totally counting on it being a game where they think the best matchup is throwing to White.
Right.
This clearly wasn't that game.
I do think this is an interesting week for him, though, week 15, because typically when they're facing a team that has a good pass rush, and the Steelers still have a good pass rush, it's ball out quick, and he's usually heavily involved in these big games at home.
Next week they're on the road, right, at Pittsburgh?
Oh, it's in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pretty sure.
I still think he's going to be involved.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
I think it'll be him or Edelman, because there was a big deal made when the Steelers lost to the Chargers about how they were trying to cover Keenan Allen with the linebacker. And they're going to be covering both those guys with linebackers, and their linebackers aren't great in coverage.
Yeah, two Saturday games next week. Very fun. Houston at the Jets, Cleveland at Denver. And only two, as of right now, unless things change with flexing or something, only two 4 o'clock Eastern games. Seattle, San Francisco, and New England, Pittsburgh. Which one are you going to be watching, folks? Your other loser is Larry Fitzgerald Heath. 5 catches, 55 yards on 9 targets.
And when I sent this in, it was looking a lot worse for Larry Fitzgerald. I think he had 2 targets in the game. He got a lot of targets late in this game. But Josh Rosen is just terrible right now. Mm. And I think that Fitzgerald was really benefiting a little bit from having Christian Kirk over there as someone else that the defense actually had to cover. He's obviously not someone that's going to get open a lot. He just runs those types of routes that are easily targeted. But this was not an encouraging performance.
Jamie, two losers for you are two guys that I think people are going to have trouble trusting going forward. Adrian Peterson and Calvin Ridley.
I think with Peterson, you know, it's kind of twofold. It's you're going to look at what happened with Derrick Henry last week and say, oh, maybe Peterson could do that. No, because he gets Jacksonville this week. It's just the offensive line and the quarterback situation are a problem, a big problem.
Yeah.
Because if he can't do this, he can't do anything against the Giants.
Right.
He's not going to do anything against anybody.
10 carries for 16 yards, 1 catch for 3 yards against the Giants. And as Heath pointed out last week, Adrian Peterson had a 90-yard run and did not get to 100 yards in the game. He had 8 carries on his other 8 yards on his other 8 carries. So you're just hoping and praying that he scores at this point. And Ridley, Arizona gets back home next week. Arizona at home. He's usually uninvolved.
I mean, look, you could call him a third receiver, but again, at this point in the season, you got to trust either great matchup or great player. And I don't know if he has either of those.
Sure. Okay. So those are your winners and your losers. Just want to tell you about our other podcasts real quick at cbssports.com/podcast. cbssports.com/podcast. Please check them out. Waiver wire running back. So how did they do? Jeff Wilson had 23 carries for 90 yards and 1 catch for 6 yards. In non-PPR, he was the top performer. In PPR, Jalen Samuels was better. 11 carries for 28 yards, 7 catches for 64 yards. Steven Ridley had a short yardage touchdown for the Steelers, but that's pretty much all he did. And then Austin Eckler was the best of the bunch, if you consider him. Justin Jackson, very disappointing for Justin Jackson. 7 carries for 12 yards, 2 catches for 23 yards against the Bengals. Well, what do you guys think overall? Heath, why don't you kick it off? Just your overall thoughts on the waiver wire running backs that we spent so much time talking about.
I mean, I think Wilson and Samuels were both good. They were both unlucky to not score a touchdown, is what I would say. If you're going to tell me that Jeff Wilson has 24 touches and 96 yards, I'm going to guess he scores a touchdown most weeks. Same thing for Jalen Samuels, 18 touches, 92 yards. They were both very, very good. They got unlucky and didn't score touchdowns.
Jamie? Any thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very much similar to what he said. The only thing is now what do you do moving forward? Because if Eckler's out, can you trust Justin Jackson against the Chiefs if Melvin Gordon doesn't play?
If Eckler's out and Melvin Gordon's out, I'm going to be starting Justin Jackson.
I think that's the sentiment for most people, but you didn't really get a good semblance of confidence from him after what he did today.
Nope.
So, and then I think, you know, Samuels should be in most lineups next week.
Samuels got, you know, got the touchdown going to Ridley there, but he was also, Samuels also later in the game was in near the goal line. So it's not to say that if Connor's out next week that Ridley is definitely the goal line guy.
Right, right. I think if, like, let's just say that Matt Breida, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, and James Conner are all out next week, you're starting all three of those guys. You're starting Jackson, you're starting Wilson, you're starting Samuels.
And remember, Wilson's best game was against the Seahawks when he had the 8 catches. I think the biggest surprise was the lack of involvement in the passing game.
Yep.
You know, it's almost like they did to him what they did to Matt Breida most of the year.
But I was also surprised that Wilson got 23 carries. I mean, that's a huge workload. Alfred Morris was more or less a complete non-factor. And
I think the biggest surprise is that they beat the Broncos, you know.
Broncos without Emmanuel Sanders and Chris Harris, they should still be able to beat the 49ers, but yeah.
This is the end of season game for them.
But, you know, Prisco was talking about it on Fantasy Football Today this morning, and I'll take a drink as soon as I stop talking. The Niners are a really good running team. Like, they just run the ball very well.
Well, I mean, it's go back to March when they signed Jerick McKinnon. Mm-hmm. This was the reason why I liked him.
Yeah, but this was a really tough run defense they went against. They ran the ball okay. Next week it gets easier against Seattle. As far as the goal line stuff, I think you probably know it, but Stephen Ridley had the one or two yard touchdown. Damian Williams got a goal line touchdown for Kansas City. That was weird. James Devlin scored a touchdown from the two.
Williams also had a short area touchdown catch.
Yes, he did. Brandon Bolden had a 6-yard touchdown run for Miami. He had two touchdowns today. So revenge. Strange. Revenge indeed. And then after what I thought was a terrible call on the Colts, I think it was on Malik Hooker for a blow to the head. They got a first and goal at the one, and Alfred Blue, or it was three, I think it was from the three. Alfred Blue scored the touchdown, but then Lamar Miller got one later, and Trenton Cannon had a 4-yard touchdown run for the Jets. And those are your red zone, or your goal line stuff. Okay. That was a boring segment. Here comes a segment called, Hey, Just Saying. Hey, just saying, Doug Martin scored a touchdown in three straight games. React. Now you react.
He's good.
He's a good flex option that could be a number two running back.
Okay, let's take a look at Doug Martin rest of season. At Cincinnati next week. What? Denver and then at Kansas City. Yeah, I mean, he only had 32 yards on 16 carries in this game against the Steelers, but I mean, are you going to love Doug Martin next week at Cincinnati?
Oh, I'm just hoping that Jamie's going to do it.
No.
He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that.
It's the Bengals.
No. I got burned by the Bengals today.
Hey, just saying, guys. Amari Cooper is apparently a superstar.
Yep.
I got crushed because when they made the trade, I tweeted, I like this trade for the Cowboys. And obviously, you know, the compensation is a big reason why. But my God.
For the Raiders or for the Cowboys?
For the Cowboys. Because I love this trade for Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And I got killed for it.
You did?
Yeah, because they, you know, I mean, everybody thought they gave up too much.
Oh, I understand. You got killed because of the compensation. I get you.
Yeah. And I understand why. But if this is what, first off, if they make the playoffs because of this, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. The way he's playing right now, he's justifying his draft status. He's justifying the trade. He looks like a legitimate star.
He looks pretty damn good. And he's had his huge games against Washington where he just sort of slipped a couple of tackles and got some long touchdowns. And then this game against Philadelphia, but it doesn't, right?
You can't say he did this against this. He's changed the dynamic of this offense. He's made Dak Prescott look like a franchise quarterback. He looks like a star wide receiver. And it's a great move by Dallas how they pulled this off.
And he may be a number one receiver before the season's over.
I mean,
I'm not talking fantasy. I'm just talking about an NFL. I mean, he's been a star.
And he should be fine in his next two matchups at Indianapolis and home against Tampa Bay. Didn't I say that if he went ahead of AJ Green next year, it would be criminal? I think I said that. I still believe that. I'm sticking by that. I would rather have AJ Green next year. Hey, I'm just saying. Matt Ryan got pretty lucky today. Just saying.
He did, but Green Bay's bad.
Well, how do you guys feel about that? Because, like, I don't come away from that Matt Ryan game and feel confident with him against Arizona next week. He's not playing that well.
He's at home against the Cardinals. I mean,
they're good. They're very good against quarterbacks.
I'm probably starting him.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, it's way too early to be thinking. I haven't thought one iota about my rankings next week, but I'm probably starting him.
I'm honestly midway through it, and I think that's the last guy that I ranked. I'll just tell you he's right now. He's behind Mahomes, Rivers, Watson, and Trubisky, and I have him ahead of Rodgers. Rodgers at the Bears.
Just saying, Josh Allen is the best rushing quarterback in the NFL.
Too bad he can't throw.
Too bad his receivers can't catch either. They have a lot of drops on that team.
I'll tell you what, Jamie. I know he's not going to finish as high as you ranked him, but you got 18 points out of him. You got 101 rushing yards and a touchdown. If people started Josh Allen, they're probably not complaining.
Well, I'll tell you what. I did start him over Wentz. In the league that I started him, I believe he was better than Wentz because it was 5 points for passing touchdowns.
No way. It couldn't have been that big of a difference. Wentz had 3 touchdown passes.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to look right now.
Like, here's the I was thinking about that, the way it unfolded. You had the right logic, because Wentz was also lucky to score 25 fantasy points at six. Wentz.
Who would have ever thought that Josh Allen would be better at running than Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson would be better at throwing than Josh Allen?
Wentz had, in this format, 18.8 points, and Allen had 22.3.
How is that possible? It's not 5 points.
He had 22.3? No, no penalties for interceptions, I bet.
Must be.
But Wentz, that's not a 5 point per passing touchdown league.
Maybe it's four.
Yeah, okay. It's a big difference. Like, yeah,
4 points per pass touchdown and no.
Or maybe it's minus one. Maybe it's minus one for interception.
Well, hey, you found the right format for Josh Allen, that's for sure. are we trusting him against the Lions next week?
Yes.
He'll probably be 18 to 20 for me.
Just saying, guys. Alvin Kamara has been kind of disappointing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Start him next week. Doesn't matter.
You know, they really found something. They really, mid-game, I think, found something with Mark Ingram. He was just having success. It seems like he sort of brought them back.
Oh, God, they get the Panthers next week. Start both of them.
Oh, the Panthers are just awful. Well, that is, just saying. Didn't really work as well as... Of course he did! That was a fun segment. We'll have to bring that back. We're going to look at the leaderboard for Fantasy Week 14 in a second. We do got to tell you, though, about the best site to buy tickets, the best app to buy tickets. You know we all use it. You know I got it on my phone. You know I'm talking about SeatGeek. And if you want to save some money next time you're going to a concert, comedy, theater, or, of course, any sporting event, you download that SeatGeek app, and you enter the code FFT. That code gets you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I love the SeatGeek app. It searches multiple sites, grades every ticket based on value, helps you find the best seats that fit your budget, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. And that's really important because when I'm buying tickets, I want to know that the site I'm using is legit. There's not going to be any issues. SeatGeek's perfect with that. So make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports and concerts and comedy and theater. Put it on your phone. Search for tickets. I was going to say for shows, but most of you are going to be going to sporting events. And enjoy. FFT is the code. $10 off your first purchase. FFT on the SeatGeek app. $10 off. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Leaderboard. All right, who are your top quarterbacks in Fantasy Week 11? What? Fantasy Week 14. Tom Brady 1, Dak Prescott 2, 455 yards and 3 touchdowns with 2 interceptions and a fumble. Ryan Tannehill 3, Andrew Luck 4, and Matt Ryan tied for 4th. Heath, your reaction.
Good job, Tom Brady. It was a good bounce back performance. You got to feel encouraged if you're at this point, kind of like we said earlier. I don't have much thoughts on the other guys.
Tannehill. So let's talk about how that last play is scored. So it ends up being a touchdown pass for Tannehill.
Yes.
Stills gets a catch and the yards. Not all the yards. Drake gets 51 yards. But that was considered a catch for Drake, right?
No.
No? A carry?
No.
I'm not sure what it's considered.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look at the box score. How about that? But anyway, it does end up being a touchdown pass for Tannehill, who is actually putting together a decent season. And, it's hard to trust him in a one quarterback league, but do you think he's worth starting in two quarterback leagues?
Not next week. I did like him in that format this week. We talked about that on the radio show last night. I think you just, take it week to week with him. We'll see how Jacksonville's defense looks in 2 weeks. But this was probably his last easy matchup if you play through week 16. Right. I don't think you're going to play him against Buffalo in week 17 if you play it that far.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Minnesota. Minnesota and Jacksonville the next 2 weeks.
But I do think from a bigger picture, this most likely solidifies himself as the guy next year.
Yeah, and
Adam Gase probably comes back, and they're very much in the thick of the wild card.
They are. Race. I think they're tied for 6th. Kenyon Drake does have 1 catch for 55 yards and a touchdown. So that was a catch. It's an interesting play. Okay. That is the top quarterbacks in Fantasy Week 14. Top running backs in Fantasy Week 14. Looking at standard scoring, but I'll try to adjust for PPR. Derrick Henry, far and away ahead. Saquon Barkley is 2. Christian McCaffrey is 3. Joe Mixon, guys. Joe Mixon is number 4 in both formats. And then, actually, that's not true. Ezekiel Elliott had 12 catches. So he is number 2 in PPR. Number 5 in non-PPR. And Zeke, he got 12 catches in this game for 79 yards. So you're looking at Henry, Barkley, McCaffrey, Mixon, Ezekiel Elliott as your top 5 with Brandon Bolden tied for 5th in non-PPR. But how about Mixon? I know we had some concerns, and they were more competitive than we thought, probably. 26 carries, 111 yards, 5 catches, 27 yards. He also had a rushing touchdown. Jamie, great game for Joe Mixon.
I mean, like Dave said, he's a great player. Or I think you said that.
I said that last night on the show, yeah.
Yeah, but he is. He's a great player. And the Chargers' run defense is not good. So you're not benching him.
No,
I guess the Raiders next week.
He had 11 to 14 carries in all 6 of their losses that he had played in. So I just did not see a scenario where Joe Mixon got 26 carries. I didn't.
Yeah, but it's also with Dalton, they're going to have a little bit more faith relying on him. They'll give Mixon some more touches in games, even though they're trailing.
Man, Ezekiel Elliott with all these catches, Heath. Who's your number 2 running back next year in PPR?
He's probably Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know. It's probably Saquon and then Zeke.
Saquon Barkley is very good.
He is. He had a phenomenal game.
Aaron Jones also showing up. He's 7th or 8th. Took a while. I was sitting there like, what is happening, Aaron Jones? But he ended up... Yeah, right? He ended up with more than 106 yards. Or no, yeah, 106 yards and a touchdown. Total yards, 106 total yards. Wide receivers for Fantasy Week 14. Who's up top? Who's that leading the way? We know Amari Cooper's number 1. Juju Smith-Schuster is 2. Julio Jones is 3. Jarvis Landry had an interesting game. 3 catches, 57 yards and a touchdown. 2 carries, 54 yards and a touchdown. He's ahead of T.Y. Hilton and Kenny Stills in non-PPR, but Landry is behind Hilton and Stills in PPR. But your top 6 are Cooper, Juju, Julio, Landry, T.Y. Hilton, and Kenny Stills. Heath, your reaction.
Well, I mean, like, if you just look at what Jarvis Landry did as a receiver, it was a disappointing game considering the matchup, but the rushing production makes him awesome this week, and he did score the touchdown. And Baker, again, didn't throw it very much, so the targets, I guess, aren't quite as disappointing. Right. 4 targets, though, is not really very good, no matter how many times he throws it. T.Y. Hilton was awesome. Considering the stakes of that game and the fact that he was injured coming in, he may be a second-round guy next year.
He's so good. 9 catches, 199 yards. Incredible game for T.Y. Hilton.
One of the funniest Joe Philbin things ever, and it involves Julio Jones. His first 2 catches were questionable.
Right.
And Joe Philbin burned his 2 challenges. Yeah. I believe it was within the first 2 minutes of the game.
The fastest ever. I mean, it's just, that's incredible.
Good thing we got rid of Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
That was awesome. I thought Julio, I thought he was going to win the second one, but not the first one. your top tight ends in Fantasy Week 14.
This is always a great list.
Actually, at one point, this was the most predictable list. Look at these names. Kittle, Gronk, Cameron Brate, 2 catches, 12 yards, 2 touchdowns. The only tight end with 2 touchdowns. Kittle, Gronk, Cameron Brate, Travis Kelce, Eric Ebron, Jared Cook. There's your top 6. I mean, that's perfect.
Should have been Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a terrible call.
It was a terrible call.
Did they score on that drive?
They might have.
I think they did.
Yes, they did.
Okay, so it didn't decide the game. But Goddard had 4 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. He had a long one called back on offensive pass interference, which is not a good call. But who were your top 6 tight ends this week? The only one missing is Ertz.
Yep.
Where was Jared Cook?
Jared Cook was 6th in non-PPR and 5th in PPR.
Yeah, I had him 6th. So, it was just Ertz.
Basically, Cameron Brate replaced Zach Ertz, and other than that, all the tight ends.
And in PPR, Samuels would have finished with 15 points.
with 15 points. Okay, so that probably would have put him sixth or seventh.
He finished with what? 8 non-PPR?
Not. Well, it depends on if you have fractional scoring or decimal scoring or not. 8 in non-decimal scoring, 9 in decimal scoring.
Yeah, he would have been right there with Jared Cook. And
so basically what we said.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he would have been 6th. Or maybe I think he would have been 7th. But he had a nice game. All right, tight end was boring this week. Let's talk about all the games. Let's break them down. We're going to get to each game, go one by one, give our fantasy thoughts right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we begin with the Colts and the Texans. Indianapolis 24, Houston 21. Andrew Luck with 26 fantasy points. Marlon Mack was lucky to score a touchdown, 14 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. It was nice to see him dominate carries. And look, he's had some really tough matchups. And Marlon Mack I'm talking about here. Next week, I don't know if it's much easier. It's Dallas. What's your confidence level on Marlon Mack, who was 48% started this week?
Flex.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a flex, and 48% is probably about right.
Okay, Zach Pascal, I'm assuming no interest?
No.
Pretty good game for Andrew Luck, huh?
He's good.
He's so good. Bounced back nicely. Your thoughts?
Although that first quarter looked bad.
Did. Long game. Heath, your thoughts on Deshaun Watson? He scored 19 fantasy points. He threw 38 passes, just couldn't get that second touchdown.
Yeah, it was a weird game. Like he wasn't particularly good, and I was disappointed, and I ranked him too high, but... most weeks, again, that he throws 38 passes, I'm going to feel pretty good on him. The Colts defense played well today.
And they'll have the Jets next week, so that should be better. Lamar Miller with 14 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 19 yards. This was a very un-Lamar Miller-like game. But he did score. He continues to be productive. I don't know. I don't have much else here. Demaryius Thomas didn't do much. Ryan Griffin had a big game. 5 catches, 80 yards. Final thoughts?
Did Demaryius Thomas have a touchdown callback?
I don't remember that.
I think he did.
Well, you know what, man? You know we're going to talk about almost touchdowns. You got to bring it in case I miss one.
Well, you literally have not talked about almost touchdowns for like a month and skipped over that section.
I skip over it all the time. Hey, let's almost touchdowns. DJ Moore had an almost touchdown. I talked about all the goal line stuff. Chris Hogan had an almost touchdown.
Ian Thomas had an almost touchdown.
Juju Smith-Schuster should have had a long touchdown. Didn't happen. Oh, but then he caught one
later
on that
drive. I have a question on the Bonanza.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Do you get credit for field goals, punts, and interceptions?
Oh, I'm so happy right now. I really need this game to be a dud. I could not care less about the Bonanza. I'm all about winning.
Wow.
In fantasy.
Selfish guy.
Oh,
you had everybody buying in.
Oh, yeah. Is that what I had? Everybody buying in? It's too cold. I should have picked the cold weather
bonanza. I mean, your bonanzas have been good.
You pressured me into making that pick. Look.
Who pressured you?
You did. You made me do it. I was going to take the week off.
I mean, well, no.
Hold, wait.
You can't take the week off of your shtick.
I know. I'm just being goofy. I mean,
that's terrible.
Miami 34, New England 33. Patriots had the ball for more than 10 more minutes than the Dolphins. I think we've talked enough about Tom Brady. I think we've talked a lot about this game. Julian Edelman was great. 9 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown on 12 targets. Heath, are you getting a little bit more excited about Julian Edelman?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to get this type of target share, then I'm very excited about him.
But we don't know that he will.
He's shattered Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that bet would be lost if Adam had the courage to make it.
What about the Dalton versus Eli bet? Does that exist or no? Was there an injury caveat in there? Because I am going to win that bet. That one I'm going to win.
I think that was a points per game bet.
Oh. As a Giants fan, do you want Eli back as your quarterback next year?
Yeah, only because it doesn't seem like it's a very good quarterback group coming in.
So keep him, draft another guy?
Sure.
Oh. I don't know. Kyle Laletta looked really good.
Wow. That guy is not an NFL quarterback. Wow. Five passes into his career or whatever. I'm pretty confident about that. So anything else here?
You know, Kenyon Drake made a phenomenal play, and it was probably one of the greatest football moments of his life. This was a pretty disappointing game if you're a Kenyon Drake owner.
Frank Gore looked good.
Frank Gore looked awesome. Drake had six touches in the whole game before that last play.
I got to say, Adam Gase is doing a great job this year. Kudos for being in playoff contention. It's mystifying why he doesn't use Drake more. Even if they don't trust him to be the guy, use him more.
And I've been trying to find the right way to frame this. Adam Gase is remarkably good at making his team less talented and not using his talented players while also winning more games than the less talented players should.
It's a challenge. He just wants to challenge himself every week, I guess.
Yes.
Do you guys feel like Rob Gronkowski is back?
No.
Yeah.
He's back to the point where you have to start him. That's for sure.
He was never away from that.
Yeah, his start percentage had dipped below 100. that's surprising.
Let's put it this way. He's coming off a game where he got 8 targets. He caught all 8 of them. He had 107 yards and a touchdown. He gets the Steelers next week, which just gave up a big game to Jared Cook. You're not encouraged by that?
Oh, of course. I'm just saying.
Heath's not.
If you had to pick. Oh, okay. You're talking to Heath. All right, go ahead,
Heath.
Well,
when you asked if he was back, like, Rob Gronkowski being back to me means he's the number one tight end. I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. I think he's number 4 at best.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, McKittle didn't have a catch in the second half, so, you know. Cleveland 26, Carolina 20. How much faith do you guys have in Cam Newton going forward? He gets the Saints and the Falcons in his next two games, both at home.
Not much.
Very little.
So Cam had 265 yards, no touchdown. I mean, look, if he just throws, like, Christian McCaffrey got 2 short yardage touchdowns, you know? Cam took him down the field.
But that's part of it, though. He's not getting those short area touchdowns.
Yeah.
He averaged 6 yards per pass attempt and ran it 5 times for 23 yards.
Yeah, I don't have much faith either. I'm just trying to be optimistic. How much faith do you have in DJ Moore?
I think he's a number 3 receiver.
Yeah, high-end number 3.
Okay, we already talked about Ian Thomas. Baker Mayfield had a pretty nice game, and it doesn't show up in the stats. It doesn't show up in the fantasy points. 18 completions and 22 attempts, 238 yards and a touchdown. He made some really good throws, too, and only scored 15 fantasy points in 6-point-per-passing touchdown leagues, and that's what he scored last week at Houston when he threw for 397 yards, but he had 3 picks. Give me your thoughts on Baker Mayfield.
I think he's a borderline starter.
Yeah, I'm going to love him in week 16 for the championship, so I don't think you should drop him, but I don't think I'll want to start him at Denver.
I mean, Nick Mullins just looked great against his defense without Chris Harris. Mm-hmm.
Nick Chubb, 13 carries, 66 yards and a touchdown. He had 4 catches. He's had 3 or 4 catches in 4 straight games. That's really nice.
He led the team in targets.
Led the team in targets. Wow. And Antonio Callaway was not able to follow up last week's performance. 1 catch, no yards, 1 target. Disappointing. And David Njoku, man. I'm looking forward to next year talking about Njoku.
David Njoku again?
Njoku, Ingram, and Howard. The 3 first-round picks from the 2017 class.
Oh, I think it's Howard by a mile.
It is. But I don't know if you had a chance to see Evan Ingram today. When a guy gets the ball in his hands, he's really, really talented. Like, he moves like most tight ends do not.
Sure. But yeah. My argument for him against him was Barkley, Beckham, Shepard. And who was missing today?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that, like, next year is last call for Njoku and Ingram to be fantasy relevant, probably.
I don't think that's the case, but.
Well,
I mean, they're too young in their careers.
It's last call to be stars, I think. Like, if you don't break out by your third year, it's tough to break out.
Not for tight ends. You have to be more patient with tight ends.
That's a good point. You're right. That's a good point.
That is, wow. Mark the tape on that one.
That is. It's a great point. It was that way with Ertz, with Kelsey. It's a good point. Well, when did Kelsey break out? His fourth year? Or his third? His third, like, he didn't play his first year.
Right.
So yeah. It's kind of different.
Third year.
All right, Giants 40, Redskins 16. Sterling Shepard is actually pretty disappointing. 2 catches, 17 yards, and a touchdown on 6 targets.
Hey, well, what do you expect with 6 targets? Like, what are you hoping for 6 for 150?
More than 17 yards.
How was Eli Manning not a top 5 quarterback?
He wasn't far off. He had 25 points. I think number 5 had 26 points.
Oh, okay.
And three he was very good. Games. Yeah, he was good. Hey, you guys have any takeaways here? How about Jamison Crowder and Josh Doctson?
No.
Crowder's was one play. Doctson's still seeing a ton of targets. Well, I mean, he had 5, I guess. So a ton for this offense.
Doctson's not completely irrelevant. He has 3 straight games with 51 or more yards. So, obviously, it's got to be a deep league. But he doesn't give you a 0. He doesn't give you...
No, it's Josh. It's Josh Johnson that gets the Jaguars. I know that they got beat up by Derrick Henry last week. No.
Saints 28 and Tampa Bay 14. So Drew Brees. Come on, Drew Brees.
Whew.
Yeah, well, give me your thoughts, Jamie, on Mr. Brees.
I like that he's playing the Panthers next week. You know, I think Tampa Bay's defense actually played a lot better the last few weeks. You know, I was a little resistant to that just because of who they've been playing. But they were fast to the ball today. They did a good job against the run for the most part. They got in Breeze's face. I think not having Armstead in there has hurt him a little bit. So I'm curious to see how he'll do against the Panthers, but the Panthers are just bad.
They are bad. Just the outdoor on the road Saints. It's worrisome. I'm gonna have a hard time ranking Breeze next week.
Well, Drew Brees scored 16 fantasy points in this game. In 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. That's bad. And that was only his 4th worst road game this year. He's had 3 games with fewer than 10 fantasy points on the road. Carolina is a great matchup. Pittsburgh at home in week 16 rather. This was certainly, Jamie, the most convincing performance by this Tampa Bay defense in this stretch of improved play. But I think one thing that's going to frustrate fantasy owners is that are we getting back on the Mark Ingram roller coaster? Because he really has been pretty hit or miss, you know? He's had some real terrible games, and it almost feels like a guessing game with Ingram.
You can say that for sure, but, like, I know one of my leagues I started Gus Edwards over him. I regret that.
Yep.
It just comes down to, you know, where your comfort factor is and what the situation is. So, in a matchup against Carolina next week, he'll be around 15 for me.
Hey, yep. Didn't Edwards do pretty much the same thing?
Yeah, but he didn't score.
He didn't score.
He didn't score?
Kenneth Dixon scored?
Yes. Yes.
I'm pretty sure that... I'm not going to say it. Wow, Kenneth Dixon... I feel like Jim Nance said Gus the Bus. And then maybe himself.
I think Edwards was 35 or 33 and Dixon's 30. Their numbers? They have a similar build?
McCall Jim Nance.
With this game from Breeze, is the MVP over, or does Mahomes have to beat Rivers on Thursday?
I think Mahomes has to win the division.
I think Andrew Luck should win it. How do you feel about
that? We'll see what Russell Wilson does. If Russell Wilson has another big game, he's going to be there too.
I don't really think.
But also, not winning the division is going to be tougher.
I think it's Mahomes. It'd be
hard to take it away from Mahomes.
What a freaking play, that throw to Tyreek Hill. That was so awesome. I went, I gasped. Okay, sorry, back
Why
to this game.
Why did you gasp?
Because I was stunned at that play. It was amazing.
He had to throw the ball. It was 4th down.
I'm not saying it was bad. It was just an amazing play.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Humphreys, that was...
You gasped, like, why is he throwing it?
Oh, no. I gasped when the catch was made. Yeah. Adam Humphreys had an almost touchdown, one of the most important almost touchdowns of the day. And Chris Godwin was terrible. He had 1 catch on 10 targets.
That's amazing.
I don't think he was terrible as much as Jameis was terrible targeting him.
Oh, boy. You are Chris Godwin's biggest fan.
Well, there were bad throws in his direction. I mean, he tried to hit him in the end zone 3 times, and they were just terrible throws.
How much faith do you have in Adam Humphreys and Chris Godwin?
Not much against Baltimore.
Next week they have Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore's defense is pretty good. And then they have Dallas the following week, and both those games are on the road. You may be done starting Jameis Winston, but you got a lot out of him. Kansas City 27 and Baltimore 24.
Oh, the Rams.
What happened? No, don't tell me what happened.
What happened, Jamie?
No, don't say it. Nobody cares. We're doing the show. They hate people.
Everybody
hate that.
Cares.
People hate that.
People text us all the time.
Fake, like, it was fun.
Oh, they did a fake punt. They love fake punts.
But at their own 20. At their own 20.
Oh. So what do you think about Gus Edwards not getting the stupid touchdown? Apparently, someone told me Kenneth Dixon got the touchdown, apparently.
I mean, it was very bad, but I'm still going to trust him.
Trust Edwards.
Trust the bus.
Yeah, against Tampa Bay? Sure.
Okay. Yeah, he got 16 carries. That was very nice. Disappointing that Chris Conley did almost nothing. 2 catches, 13 yards on 3 targets. I don't know. Help me out here. How do we feel? Spencer Ware. Nice game for Spencer Ware. 5 catches.
Great game.
Yeah. Definitely got to feel better about him now with the Chargers next week. Yeah.
For sure. Much better matchup next week. And Damian Williams did steal some of the work, but Ware was much better in the passing game this week.
And Charkandrick West wasn't active. So was Kelvin Benjamin, if you're looking for two guys that the Chiefs just brought in.
Green Bay 34, Atlanta 20. Well, I don't see how you can trust Tevin Coleman anymore. Question is, are you going to trust Ito Smith? 11 carries, 60 yards. And another question, does it make sense to stash Devontae Freeman, who could come back when? Week 16 or 17? I'll check on that with Freeman.
If you have an IR spot, yes. If you don't, no.
So any interest in Judge Ito?
I mean, they get Arizona this week, so deep league flex.
Wait a second. I think he can return. Well, 8 weeks would be next week. So,
but they haven't designated him yet. It's practice.
Freeman will have to miss this. Week 16 is the earliest Devontae Freeman could return.
I just ran the query on Pro Football Reference. I believe this was the first game ever where a player has had at least 10 targets and less than 2 catches.
Wow. Wow, Chris Godwin. Into the record books. So, Randall Cobb caught a touchdown. Do we think he could have a strong finish?
You're not playing him against the Bears, even though he had that great week one performance.
I mean, I think that is the place to attack the Bears is in the slot, but he's not going to be anything more than a number four receiver.
Jets 27, Bills 23. Buffalo had the ball for 33 minutes, 47 seconds. Jets for 26 minutes and 13 seconds. So Robbie Anderson had a nice game. 4 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets. He sort of stole Chris Herndon's thunder. He only had 1 catch, Herndon, for 14 yards on 2 targets. I can't imagine you guys are going to be enthused about anybody in the Jets passing game. So I'll broaden the question. Are you enthused about anybody in either the Jets or the Bills passing games as Zay Jones took a step back, even though he had 9 targets, and Robert Foster had his 3rd huge game in his last 4 weeks?
No, not encouraged.
No.
I was disappointed in Zay Jones.
But are you encouraged by 9 targets? Does that get you happy? Put a smile on your face?
No.
Okay. Robert Foster.
But I'm encouraged about Elijah McGuire.
Yeah, real quick though, Robert Foster's had 94 or more yards in 3 of his last 4 games. It's just like, you know, Josh Allen isn't really that good as a passer, so it's hard to trust these guys. However, Elijah McGuire, Jamie, will be someone that you're potentially very interested in next week.
Yeah, not necessarily I'm going to start him, but I just want to see if he could be somebody that you could look at next year.
Okay. San Francisco 20 and Denver 14. The Niners have a pretty good run defense. Philip Lindsay, 14 carries, 30 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 4 catches for 21 yards, so that was encouraging. Any other takeaways from this game? Heath?
Dante Pettis got saved by a touchdown.
Yep.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. 3 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown on 7 targets. Not so bad. I mean, 49 yards, not so bad for Dante Pettis.
No, it wasn't terrible, but it was. It's a good thing he scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else from this game? Or are we done here?
No, we talked about the receivers, right?
We did. Do you anticipate having Cortland Sutton in your top 30 next week against Cleveland?
No.
Very.
Probably in the 30 to 40 range, if I was guessing.
I'm very mad at him. Chargers 26, Bengals 21. So Mixon, we discussed. Giovanni Bernard had barely any work in this game. He only had five touches. Tyler Boyd, three catches, 52 yards on six targets. It was John Ross who had the short yardage touchdown. Heath, you've
every
been...
time AJ Green's out, all he does is score.
I know. Basically like 10 yards and a touchdown. Heath, how do you feel about Tyler Boyd after this game?
I don't feel a lot different about Tyler Boyd. Jeff Driscoll only threw it 27 times. It kind of goes back to the Joe Mixon thing. They were more competitive than we thought they were going to be. They were able to run the ball a lot more than we expected they would. Almost the entire game they were within one score, maybe the entire game. I still think Boyd gets six targets on 27 passes. If Driscoll throws it 30, 35 times next week, he'll be fine. But he's probably more of a high-end number three than a low-end number two.
And Jamie, Mike Williams is 73% owned. Three catches, 45 yards on six targets. Would you have any hesitation to drop him? But they are at Kansas City next week.
No, I'd drop him.
Okay.
And I mean, just I'd rather have Deshaun Hamilton next week.
This was the worst game of the year for Phillip Rivers.
Yep. Guess who had him start of the week?
Yeah. Bad timing for this. Yep. Was there a reason for it, you think, or just bad luck?
I just didn't play well.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if, looking ahead to Thursday was part of this too.
Oakland 24 and Pittsburgh 21. Another exciting finish. Really, really great week of football. So.
Man, they're regretting that contract extension for Chris Boswell.
Oh, yeah.
He's Boswell.
He just slipped. He just slipped. Like, all you got to do is stand up, dude.
He missed the kick earlier in the game, too.
Yeah,
no. He hasn't had a good year.
Yeah, that field in Oakland is notoriously terrible.
Did you see the divot on the field in Miami?
No.
That they were fixing? My goodness, that is becoming a pretty sketchy field as well. But as far as Oakland,
they should,
Pittsburgh
get rid of that minor league college team that plays there.
Jeez, they're so bad.
I like that Antonio Brown and Juju are just taking turns every other week now.
Well, that's not true. Antonio Brown has had so few bad games because he's had so many more touchdowns than Juju, at least going into this game. In terms of yards, you are 100% right. But Brown, I wonder where the fantasy points are now. Going into this game, Brown was probably pretty well ahead. But
yeah,
now,
he was like the number three or four receiver in fantasy going into this game.
Yeah, this was a bad game for him, no question. Five catches, 35 yards on seven targets, and clearly affected by Roethlisberger missing time. But Juju had a great game. Eight for 130 and two. He's good. He had 49 yards last week.
Where does he get drafted next year?
Early third round? What do you think?
Yep.
Yeah. You know who's not that good is Vance McDonald. Like, he could have all the great,
another almost touchdown,
great matchups in the world. Yeah, that's true. Man, I'm slacking with the almost touchdowns. But he's just like, not that good. Derek Carr's had two good games in a row, guys, against Kansas City and Pittsburgh, and he will be at Cincinnati next week.
What's the weather going to be?
75 degrees.
No, it won't. Not in Cincinnati in December.
No, it won't. Well, I guess it's going to be a question of how much you trust the Raiders next week with a great matchup. Doug Martin and Jordy Nelson, not a terrible game. Six catches, 48 yards on seven targets. It's not great, but...
That throw to Seth Roberts to set up the score was fantastic.
Great
throw.
Yeah. You're starting Jared Cook, that's for sure. John Gruden said he was their MVP.
Jared Cook has had two straight 100-yard games, following up two straight games with 31 or 32 yards. Jared Cook, ladies and gentlemen. Detroit 17, Arizona 3. How is Matthew Stafford having this bad of a year? What is happening?
He took away his tight end, his number one receiver, and his number two receiver.
And his line sucks.
And his best running back.
I guess. But boy, is he having four fantasy points. He threw for 101 yards. He's Matthew Stafford.
It was Zach Zenner today.
I think Patrick Mahomes is very close to Superman. And he's lost his running back and his number two receiver. But imagine if you took Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill away from him as well.
Well, but you'd still have to leave him with Kenny Golladay. And Bruce Ellington and Theo Riddick, who are the same player.
How in the hell did Kenny Golladay have 5 yards?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually feel terrible about that, because not that I rank him or anything, but I gave that stat. I tried to convince people via email, via Twitter, radio show, that Kenny Golladay was going to be just fine, because Arizona.
I think I played Golladay over Mixon today.
2 catches, 5 yards on 4 targets.
Yeah.
I guess that happens. Hey, he had 5% of Matthew Stafford's yards.
What about Trent Sherfield?
That game was so miserable. Our colleague Brady Quinn called that game, and Pete Prisco Drink texted him in the middle of the game to tell him we were watching in the green room. And Brady said,
I don't know if you should share this. I don't even know what he said, but I feel like you should.
It's basically like, this is just misery. Like, watching the game was that's a tough game to be at.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Detroit.
It wasn't any bad. I mean, it's a tough game to watch. At one point, it was 3-0 until Darius Slay had the pick six.
Yeah. Detroit. Oh, I dropped Darius Slay in IDP this morning. That was great. Detroit 17, Arizona 3 made the Giants Redskins game look like the Dolphins Patriots game. And, what about Trent Sherfield? And what about Zach Zenner, the two surprising studs from this game?
Move along.
Okay. Oh, we have only one game left. Dallas 29, Philadelphia 23. Alshon Jeffrey. It was Alshon Jeffrey week. Of course it was. Of course he did, Heath.
Yeah, he made a couple really nice plays. It was nice to see him get involved. It's good to know that the Philadelphia pass offense is not predictable at all, and Golden Tate got 3 targets, had 7 yards in the entire game. Nelson Agholor made a hell of a catch.
Yes.
What's up with all their slants?
You just watching Philadelphia the first time?
But it's ridiculous at this point. Like, it's ridiculous. Because Wentz should have thrown an interception. There was that ball on third down. I don't remember who the defensive back was, but he didn't even look. He, like, hit him in the arm. All these slants.
Oh, Brown.
Yeah. Slant after slant after slant. And it's just like, come on now. What are you, Beckham? So disappointing for Golden Tate. Alshon Jeffrey was only started in 33% of leagues, and star percentages are pretty unreliable right now, because it includes all the people who are out and have Alshon Jeffrey. But it's clear from the star percentages, Wentz 35%, Adams 37%, Jeffrey 33%, Golden Tate 50%. It's clear people didn't expect much from the Eagles. And, you know, at least Wentz and Jeffrey came through. Jamie, your thoughts on Josh Adams, 7 carries, 36 yards.
A lot of mouths to feed. This was always the concern with, you know, Philly. And we got lucky for a couple weeks because no Darren Sproles and Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood were struggling. But now with Sproles back, that's all reliable.
Yeah. So. I wonder what happens next week at the Rams. I guess game script is pretty important for Josh Adams.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Michael Gallup got 9 targets. That was cool. Blake Jarwin had 7 catches for 56 yards.
I mean, everybody played. The Eagles are just so bad defensively.
Rod Smith had 4 carries for 27 yards. Don't be like me. Be smart enough to handcuff Ezekiel Elliott. Get Rod Smith. And we've got a 50-yard field goal to finish the half.
57, right?
57! Bonanza! Greg Zuerlein. That's
yeah,
why
your bonanza so far in my start of the week not so good.
Adam, how do you feel about Harold Baines getting in the Hall of Fame?
I can't say I know enough, but he just doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer. Like, does he feel like a Hall of Famer to you?
I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, sure. That's not what I asked.
But Harold Baines got in the Hall of Fame?
No, that's not the White Sox Hall of Fame, the real one.
Yeah. I remember watching him as a kid, and like. All he does is hit.
For me, like, the Hall of Fame would have like 30 people in it. It would be just the greatest of the greats. There would be no room for Harold Bates. And there'd be no room for Mike Messina, and I will end it on that. Fellas,
on what?
Mike Messina should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Why?
Because he's
I don't really care. Gotta go back.
Okay, everybody, we'll talk to you on Tuesday with the waiver wire. Hope you had a great week. And adios.